It's so cool. I'm kind of jealous. I want to see a pie in the face. Is someone going to record that? Can we post that somewhere so we can see that? All right. Very good. Very good. Well, God is up to something, and it's so cool to see his outreach through. Oh, and speaking of kids need to leave. there was no good segue there. Thank you, Greg. Kids, have a blessed time. Take a pie in the face. But to hear about how God's moving in each of our lives is so cool. And thank you for initiating that, Maribel. That's so cool. And to hear that's really special. God's up to something in everybody's life. And for us to have a platform to share that, that's what family is about. We kind of get to know each other and see how we can lift each other up and see how we can support each other and also have an avenue to know that I can be vulnerable with other people and invite people into my life when I have circumstances going on that I need support. We're not meant to be here and on our own. We're Lone Ranger Christianity is not what we're here for. We're here to be part of a family. And before we dive into the message today, I want to update you on some really cool activities that you guys were actually a part of. When you wrote down prayers and you wrote down your names on little strips of paper, I took those to the Pendleton Juvenile Penitentiary 2 weekends ago, and we connected those pieces of paper, and this chain wrapped all the way around the room twice. And that is just so special to have, to be praying for someone you may not ever meet, but they felt the love of God that weekend. It was so, so special to be a part of. When we started singing some songs on Friday night, and they're teenage boys, so it was like, But by Sunday afternoon, I tell you what, they're hooting and hollering, and God was active in there. We showed them that walls cannot stop the love of God, and that they have not done anything to ruin God's plan for them. They have not out-sinned God's grace. He loves us all, and he keeps pouring his grace out to us. And to see the response, this brain activity happening of connecting dots, and to hear them days later kind of repeat or kind of have this seed start to germinate is just so special to be a part of. And you guys were a part of that too. So give yourselves a round of applause. That was just so special. And I will be going back every month. We do a reunion. So if you feel called to be a part of some kind of prison ministry or just want to visit and see what that's all about, twice a year we do a weekend in the fall and spring. And then we go back once a month just to have a meal with the young men and show them that God's love is everywhere, not just outside the walls. So, and you don't have to have a clear criminal background to go. So it helps getting you in a little quicker, but you don't have to have been through the system to go back in love. If you feel it on your heart, by all means, that's something that I can help walk through you with. But we talked about a lot that weekend, and one of the main discussion points was our choices that we make, and some consequences that are associated with those choices. And one of the speakers said that we make about 350 choices a day, and I've never counted all the choices that I've made, but this morning I'm at about like 94 so far. So I'm going to take their word for it on the amount of choices that we make, but all of those choices have an impact on our life, some less than others. So if you choose Lucky Charms over Pebbles, that may not have a significant impact on your life. Maybe it will, but I look at life as kind of a choose your own adventure storybook. And some of us are old enough to remember those storybooks where books were on paper and we're reading along and it says, if you would like the character to go to Alaska and see the wilderness, turn to page 85. And we turn to page 85 and we're going along with the adventure there. There's another decision. If you want to see the character go to Hawaii and conquer a volcano, then you turn to page 94. I think that life is a lot like that. Not that, so God has written the whole book. God knows where we're going. He has that plan for us. But he also invites us into making decisions that draw us closer to him. So when we come to this fork in the road, we can make a decision to lean into God's will, or we can make a decision that allows us to drift away from God, not his presence there, but his influence in our life. And I got to a point, the reason I go to the prison is because I used to be really good at making bad decisions. And it was like, oh, wrong, nope, no Jordan. That's not how you do it, but God's grace covered it all. And he continues to show me, and we continue to have these moments of what direction we're going. God is going to use that all. God is now using my bad decisions to impact his kingdom in a way that I never could have imagined. God is going to use it all because we each have a story. And we use our stories for his glory. Whatever decisions we make, we're not going to be batting 1,000. We're not getting it right every time. But our stories are used for God's glory. And I believe that church is when your story meets my story. And we're a family. And as those stories, not crossing paths, but joining paths to choose to grow closer to God or make a decision and we start to drift away from God. Church is our stories, and we're in the middle. If you're just visiting today, if you haven't been here in a while, we're at a really exciting time. I think it's really special. Some people are like, what are we going to do? But we're at a transition period, and God is saying some things to some people, and it's so special to be a part of this. We're writing the history of Hope Church right now. Like, I don't know if every single person in this room or in this building will be here a year from now or 2 years, but we're setting examples for our children of what church can be, a family, and being a part of each other's lives. We're setting an example of what stories look like when they come together and choose God. So we've been in a discernment series, and for the past 3 weeks, I have been discerning about discernment, and that is tough. Let me tell you, if you're thinking about what you're going to think about talking about discernment, it's tricky. It's a little tricky. So we're in week 3 of 6, so that means we only have 3 more weeks to figure out everything that we need to do. No, I'm just kidding. No. This is blocked on our calendar, so we understand what discernment is, where we're being led, what leadership may look like for us. This is that block of time that God has put on our calendar to really allow us to be together and get to know each other and see our spiritual gifts kind of rise to the surface. I don't know that any other opportunities would allow for these to happen without this kind of transition period. So it's really special. And knowing what discernment is critical. Discernment is a decision-making process that honors God's will in our lives. Discernment is not trying to figure out the path of least resistance. Discernment is not trying to figure out what is the easiest solution. What's the simplest thing we can do? Because then we get comfortable. And God doesn't necessarily like us being comfortable. He has work for us to do. If we're comfortable, that means we're not advancing his kingdom. That means we don't have a burden for us to go pursue what Jesus would have for us in our lives. So uncomfortable is a good place to be. This discernment is an interior search that looks to align our will with God's. in order to learn what God has for us on the timeline of Hope Church in Carmel, Indiana, in Hamilton County in 2019. Our stories are together, and God has placed us each in each other's lives for purpose. And discernment is listening for God's voice. It's being patient versus waiting. And patience is active. Patience is actively praying that God would speak to you. Waiting is just kind of like, oh, I need to check out the grocery line, and this woman has too many bottles of milk or gallons of milk, whatever. Waiting is different than patience. Patience is actively praying for God's word, and God is always up to something. Discernment is our invitation by us to God to hear him speak. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So pull out your Bibles, fire up your app, however you receive God's word. If you don't own a Bible, there's a Bible sitting in front of you with your name on it. Now, it doesn't have your name on it now, but go ahead and take one of those Bibles and put your name in it as a gift from Hope Church to you. We believe that God wants to speak to you directly, not just on Sunday mornings as a little piece of a meal. He wants to speak to you directly and see what his will is for you. So I'll pray and we'll dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, Lord, we're grateful that you have chosen us to be a part of your family. We know that we have work to do. We're grateful that we know that we end up in heaven, but we don't want to get complacent. We understand that we are here to pursue the lost, and we are here to pursue you. And we invite you to move today in our hearts, have our hands and feet be your hands and feet. We are eager to see what you have for us in this moment in time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is kind of a life verse. Some of us may be familiar with this. Through this discerning of discernment, I've just kind of kept going back to this verse. So let me start. And chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Let me read that again. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. But then we go on to verse 10. These are things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. These are things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit teaches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So sometimes we read verse 9, and it's so beautifully written. Like, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. And that's true. But then it tells us we've been given a gift of the Spirit to know what God is up to see what God is up to. He reveals to us in our life what he is up to when we are connected to the Spirit. Point number one, do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit can have in our decision making. Do not underestimate the power that the Holy Spirit can have in our decision making. I want us to all take a breath. One more. Oh, that feels good. I think that's what the Holy Spirit does when we have some critical decisions to make. When we invite the Holy Spirit into these decisions, we can take a breath and know that He's here with us. The Holy Spirit is here with us. And God is inviting us here in the scripture to know Him better. And to know God better is to know His Spirit better. We can't know God apart from His Spirit. That's what this verse is telling me. It's like, if you are not engaged with the Holy Spirit, then you can't know my plans for you. If you don't invite the Holy Spirit into being in this decision, how are you ever going to know what I have planned for you? It is possible to live outside of God's will. Like, God didn't want me to go through the trials and tribulations that I went through, but He's using those. That wasn't His will to have me placed in a place of isolation years and years ago. I wish there was a cool story, but there's not. But I'd be happy to share with you if you want to know. That's not God's will for us. God's will for us is to lean into Him and follow His work for us in His kingdom. It is possible when this decision and this decision, this is God's will, this is outside of God's will. He's given us free will. And the Holy Spirit, when we invite the Holy Spirit into that conversation, we give Him a seat at the table. Not just a seat at the table, we look to the Holy Spirit for the answers that we're looking for. That's when God's will can be revealed. That's when our eyes can see. That's when our ears can hear. That's when we start to conceive what God is doing in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, we can create our own narratives. If I'm making a decision, I'm so good at this. Oh, well, if I do this, and this person's going to say this, and then they're going to rebuttal me, and then we're going to get into a fight, and then I think we're going to maybe go separate ways, but then we'll have a reconciliation. And maybe. So we can create our own narratives in our decision-making. And there's like 5,000 different things that it could be. But God's will is only one. One of those storylines is God's will. And we can't see that if we are having these decision-making conversations with ourselves or with each other without inviting the Holy Spirit into that conversation for guidance. Without the Holy Spirit, I can feel isolated. Matthew 28:20, the end of the Great Commission scripture, Jesus tells us, I am with you always. Don't underestimate the presence of God with you always, even in the little tiny decisions. This past week, I am a technology installer, which basically means I run cables and install projectors. But this past week, I was trying to fish a cable down a wall, which that looks like there's where you plug your computer into, there's a network jack. So there's a cable that goes to that. And in the wall, some of you construction people may be with me here, there's two studs here, and I found out that there was a horizontal stud in the middle of it. And I'd already cut my hole. The first thing you learn when you're pulling cable is don't cut a hole without knowing if you can get down there. So I cut my hole, and I'm, you know, getting angry and getting frustrated and frustrated. I won't go into too many details about the language that I was used. I'm getting frustrated. And then I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you're here. Whether I'm angry or not, whether I'm happy or not. And I'm not kidding. I pulled on the cable, and the cable went down the wall. I'm not saying that God removed this horizontal stud. What I am saying is that sometimes I just need to know that God is with me through it all. Through the really big things, the healthcare things, the scares, the really big things like jobs and employment and relationships. God's there in those, but don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit for the little things too. God wants to be in all of that. And when Jesus tells us, I am with you always, it's true, he's with us, but we have to invite him into that conversation. It's like having Michael Jordan on the sidelines, just following you around, you're playing basketball. It's like, let him do his thing. Michael Jordan was a basketball player sorry for the sports analogy, I'm a sports guy, but it's having the best at who does the best in your corner, and you're not looking at the Spirit in our conversations, in our decisions. It allows us, the Holy Spirit allows us to accept God's will. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to minister to my heart. Do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in any decision that we make. Point number two, discernment. Do not underestimate the need and power of the full armor of God through our discernment. Don't underestimate this. Mike spoke, it's in Ephesians 6. We are always being thrown darts at us to distract us in our conversations. I love when Mike said that the armor is not intended for each other. We're not going to battle with each other. But don't doubt that in our decision-making process, we are going to get pulled away. That Satan is actively trying to have us choose our will and not God's will. He's planting seeds. He's planting things in our mind that makes us think that our will may be better than God's. Or that our will may be easier. Satan has an advantage over us apart from the Holy Spirit. If we are by ourselves, Satan has experience. He's been doing this a very long time. He is a cheater. He's intellectual. He's disciplined in his strategy. And he knows how to get us to think twice about our will or God's will. He's subtle. Just twisting words just a little bit. But he is always active. Don't think that in our circle, in our family, that Satan won't try to use this time to distract us from what God's will is. That's why we need the armor of God every day. I don't have it in my closet, it's hanging up in my closet, but to be intentional about thinking about these things. The belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the boots of readiness, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Being intentional about saying, God, you're right, I do need these things, because there will be darts thrown at you. There will be arrows that just make you think just a little bit, maybe my will is the right way. Or when we're making these decisions, this way, my will may look a little easier. Sunshine and there's some butterflies down this way. And this way may look scary and feel scary and unknown. But this is God's will and this is not. But Satan may be taking us down here to distract us from what God wants in our lives. So we put on the full armor of God. Don't underestimate the need for that, because we will be attacked constantly. The closer we get to God's will, that's where spiritual warfare is greatest. I've felt it. I have felt that extensively as God's pulling me closer. The closer I get to God, the louder the devil yells. Don't underestimate that not going on in, in what we're trying to do. But we hear about the knight in shining armor, and I'm thinking, like, if there's a knight with shining armor on, what battles has he been in? What's that knight been through? Or has he avoided battles in his life to keep his pristine armor? Is he avoiding darts? I think God gives us this armor because we need it, and we're going to be attacked. We're going to be given planted seeds in our life that make us think that we're right. This is putting on the armor, and it's not saying, not, I'm ready for you, Satan. It's, I'm coming for you, Satan. I'm going to identify where you are in this. In our discussions, it can look something like this. Did you hear what Samson said about what we want to do in the future? I mean, it can look as subtle as that. No one's named Samson in here, right? I checked off everybody's name. Nobody's named Samson in here. But I want to be clear. That is what, that little thing, it starts to fester. And then Samson's now the enemy. You know what? I don't agree with him. I don't agree with his perspective. So he's not in the family anymore. I don't know. That's extreme. But don't underestimate the subtlety of those little plants, those little seeds in our life of resentment. This is identifying Satan and immediately rebuking him and saying, Jesus, I see it, and I won't allow it. Satan, you are not welcome here. Satan, you are not welcome. He wants us to focus on the things that separate us from God. And when we identify that, we identify the Holy Spirit in our life again. Don't underestimate the need and power of putting on the full armor of God. And point number three, do not underestimate God's placement of us in each other's lives here. Do not underestimate God's placement of you in this room, in this building, a part of this family, on this timeline of Hope Church. Don't underestimate God's placement there. God is up to something. And collectively, we've made, I don't know, billions of decisions, you know, maybe, give or take, a trillion. We've all made decisions, but somehow we've all ended up here today. Somehow we've all ended up in our lives together. On this point of this timeline, which I think is kind of exciting, it can be a little scary, but we've all been placed here, all of our decisions, and these could have, I can list five different decisions that I know, and now I'm here. You have decisions, maybe you didn't take that job, or maybe you didn't pursue that career, or maybe you did move to a place for education, or maybe you didn't pursue that relationship with that dirtbag James, or maybe you didn't pursue something along the lines that God didn't want you to pursue. Maybe all of these decisions have us all here together today. Maybe God is up to something. Whether you've been here for 10 years or 20 years or an hour and a half, all of our decisions have collectively brought us here together. And we are part of a family. He brought you here for purpose. Now, whenever you came here, you may not have known what that purpose is, but I believe you are here because God is up to something. And he has something so incredible for us that apart from him, we couldn't recognize it if it hit us in the face. But with the Holy Spirit, we can see. With the Holy Spirit, we can hear what God's up to. With the Holy Spirit, we can know that God is lighting a path for us that gets us closer to his will. Everything that God wants to do in our lives will come through the relationships that he places in our lives. Everything that God wants to do in our lives will come through people that he places in your proximity, whether it's family members or different education people, teachers, students, mentors. Everything that God wants to do in your life will come through people he places in your life. I believe he brought you here to share your story. He brought you here because someone needs to hear your perspective on things. God brought you here at this moment on our Hope Church timeline because he wants you to be a part of someone else's story. I believe he brought you here because you may need someone to hear your story, and you may need to hear someone else's story. Our stories are meeting. Our decisions are meeting. These are decisions that will impact how we influence God's kingdom in our proximity. These decisions about our values and characteristics and how we go about our mission will not change. Our mission is to partner with God and do whatever it is he would allow us to do, whatever it is he wants to do through us on this moment on the timeline. That will always be our mission. That should be the mission of every church, is to partner with God and do whatever God's will would be. But then people get involved. That's what discernment's about. It's listening for God's voice. We are becoming family, and we're making some family decisions. Don't underestimate your voice in those decisions. Don't minimize your history and the impact that it can have on our future. God placed you here however many years ago or hours ago. God placed you here for purpose. And we've collectively made a lot of decisions. And I pray that moving forward, our decisions move towards God's will. Some of us are familiar with the Marvel series, and they just came out with a movie last year, Endgame, which is the culmination of like 25 different stories coming together, and it's this epic blockbuster. Endgame's got nothing on what God's got for us. Nothing. Hope Church has God all over it. He just wants us to invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of the conversation. He wants us to put on the armor of God because he knows we're going to get attacked. The closer we lean towards God, the louder the devil yells. And God knows that he placed each of us in each other's lives intentionally and specifically and for purpose. As we close today, this may be a little difficult, but I'd love if we could all stand and hold hands and pray as one kind of chain thing. And if for those that are more mobile, if you could make your way and just to extend our hands. And I'm sorry to make this uncomfortable. I didn't know if I was going to do it or not, but this is unity. We are a family. And I think it's important to all be connected, to this. Oh. Thank you all. I appreciate it. God, we come to you today as a family. We come to you today eager to see what you have for us. We pray for patience, and we pray that we can keep you at the forefront of our conversations and our minds as we make family decisions. We invite the Holy Spirit, not just on a weekly basis, but every second of every day. Let our eyes be turned to the Spirit so that we can see and that we can hear. and then we can comprehend your impact in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your armor that you provide us. May we always be intentional about knowing that we need it. And Lord, I thank you that you brought every single person into this room on this part of the timeline of Hope Church. We are eager to see what you have for us. We are ready for the harvest. And we pray to respond in whatever aligns us to your will. It's in Jesus' strong name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we do have a couple of discussion questions, and they're easy. So I didn't write them down. One, question one is, why did you start attending Hope Church? Question two, why did you keep coming back to Hope Church? I think these will develop some characteristics of what we are, of who we are. These will bring some words to the surface about how we move forward. I've only asked one person. Becky is going to record at one table. Does anybody have good handwriting? You don't have to ask questions. All right, Craig, good job. Craig will be writing at the other table. So this is no leaders, just somebody start and let's roll with it. I love you guys. Take care. God bless.
Song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.